I'm Ismaila Alpha, and I want you to stay right there as we continue with Scene on Air. Up next, I've got Monica Wall.
Were there clouds above you just this morning? Was the sky a sunny golden hue? What about that bird outside your window? Did he sing or did he fly the coop? Which side of the bed did you wake up? Which side of the world did you dawn? Come on, make today a good one. You've got to get your happy on. When the traffic jams, horns are blowing, your place in line is 82. Snow comes down first week in October. Warm or chilly blue, it's up to you. Which side of the bed did you wake up? Which side of the world did you dawn? Come on, make today a good one. You've got to get your happy on. To you, glass half full, half empty. Not Freud, just you. Which side of the bed did you wake up? Which side of the world did you die?
Well, that is Get Your Happy On from Monica Wall. That's from her latest album, Parallel Mundo. And I'm lucky enough to have Monica in studio with me today. Good afternoon, Monica.
Hi.
And thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate this. Now, I mean, we've got the album here, Parallel Mundo, but we want to go way back. We want to go back to when you started in music, because I think it's obvious you've got some chops. So let's see where that all started. When did you discover that your voice was your instrument?
I've always sung. I drove people crazy and probably still do because I sing all the time. It's like breathing to me. So
okay. How difficult was it to decide to go into university? Because you took music in university.
Yeah, I didn't actually consciously choose it because growing up, you know, no one encourages you to go become a singer. So I just loved it. And when I went to university, I didn't know what else I wanted to study. And so they just asked me, what do you want to study? And I said, well, I like music and theater. So they just signed me up for the courses and off I went.
Wow. So up until that point in time, what type of music had you been singing? What were you listening to? What was your favorite stuff?
Oh, well, I guess I listened to what was on the radio growing up. And then in school, I did a lot of musicals and choral music and also jazz, jazz ensemble at school. So okay. That kind of thing.
But the focus was classical training when you're in university, because you did, as you're mentioning, a program that split your time between U of W and was it Menno Simons College?
Mennonite Brethren. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And so it was classical training that you were taking throughout university. Mm-hmm. So at some point in time, you were pulled by the jazz world. When and where did that happen?
Well, I was actually always pulled by it. As a kid, I loved watching old movies, and I loved the, you know, Frank Sinatra and all that stuff. I loved that stuff. I didn't know anybody else who did, though, so I didn't realize that people do this. So when I was living in Europe, I moved there to pursue my classical singing, and while I was living there, I came across, interestingly enough, Canadian jazz singers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, Diana Krall and Molly Johnson. And I started thinking, you know, these guys are doing this music that I have always loved. Why can't I do this music? Mm. So I started moving more into that direction.
Now, it's one thing to decide that you'd like to do this. I mean, there are a number of kids out there listening to the show who are like, I want to be a rock star, or I want to be a professional athlete. How do you make it happen? What was your first step towards making this move to this jazz style that you work with right now?
In Germany, where I was living, I started doing concerts in that direction and looking at the music and creating my own sound with it. And
That's interesting. I think there are a lot of people who would think that I need to go get some more training in some way, shape, or form, or I need some assistance with this. But you, in true Manitoban style, DIY, do it yourself, just decide to go right ahead and work in that form. You started off, you were singing covers, though. You were singing other people's music, or were you singing original tunes at the time?
No, I was singing covers.
So who were you covering at that show?
Oh, I would just take American songbook songs, just pull things out of there, and just anything that I liked. Stuff that I remembered loving as a kid, you know,
okay.
From those old movies.
Now, at some point in time, you obviously started writing your own songs, because this album, Parallel Mundo, is not an album of covers. Tell me about that first song that you wrote and how it came to you.
Well, I was sleeping one night and I woke up and I had this song in my head, and I could tell it wasn't going to go away unless I did something with it. So I went downstairs and I recorded it. And as soon as I had done that, another song came to my head. And I sang that onto the recording thing. And then again, another, a third one. And to me, that was like, okay, start paying attention. You're a songwriter.
So do you remember any of those melodies that came to you that night?
No, it is funny. I've thought about it. What was that song, actually? I'd have to go. Maybe I'd have it somewhere, because I keep everything. I just don't keep it organized. So it's somewhere.
So is that your approach to songwriting now? You try and sleep as much as possible so that you can have some great ideas come to you in your sleep?
Well, not quite. But I get this feeling, and you're a songwriter as well, so I don't know if this happens to you, but you can sort of feel a song coming. Does that happen to you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, I've got that feeling. I could feel it coming. And then usually I just sing it into Zoom. I have a Zoom that records it. And most of it is there, usually. Most of the song is there. And then, you rework things and you change a word here or there. Or you add some things or you make it better. But the basic song is usually there, and it usually comes all at once.
Mm. When you first started performing jazz music, having been classically trained, what did your peers think about that?
I think some people in the classical world feel a little bit, oh, I've abandoned them, you know. I just feel like this is especially my own songs, this is my world. This is where I have always belonged, and it just took me a while to find it.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's talk about this world that you found and your own songs. We're going to get into another tune here. Tell me about Looking Glass.
Oh, Looking Glass is the story. The story behind it is we have an old house, and we had to renovate the house. And while we were doing that, we had someone come in to cut a mirror for one of the rooms. And this man that came in, his name was Angelo, he said he had been doing this work for 50 years. And I just sort of observed him, and he was elderly, obviously, after doing this for 50 years, but he had this youthful spirit and this beautiful sense of integrity. And you could tell that his work was so precise and so well done, and that he as a person lived that way too. You could just sort of sense that just from meeting him that short bit. And so the song Looking Glass came from that, from the idea of integrity, and I thought of the people that he, where he had put the mirror in for the first people, those people would now over these 50 years have grown old, and kind of the idea of still being able to look yourself in the mirror over time, aging and staying positive and staying true to yourself.
I like that explanation. Let's take a listen to the layers of Looking Glass.
The old man Angelo, he came to cut the looking glass, and he warned me of the danger if I keep the mirror whole. For when there is a corner, there is a point of weakness, and in a shift it will crack. For 50 years he told me he had cut the people's glass. His aching knees climbed stairs too high. Work must be done and done well. We must keep the mirror whole. A man whose craft was reflected light, the images of 10,000 souls, who'd watch their lives pass away and their image growing old. Images of 10,000 spirits, images of 10,000 souls. Over 50 years, hearts to grow weary and so
was Monica Wall with Looking Glass from her album Parallel Mundo. And Monica is my guest today on Scene. And let's talk about this album itself and putting it together.
Because,
you know, taking on a project like this, it's a huge undertaking.
Yes,
I mean, emotionally, financially, and the actual writing and recording itself takes a lot out of you.
Mm-hmm.
What made you feel that you had to put this music out now in this form?
I really feel that as an artist, you need to have something that shows who you are. Doing live performances is great, but you know, everybody always wants to, do you have something I can listen to? So there was an actual necessity in that sense. And then also the idea of capturing, like, it's like something, it's there forever, right? Once you've recorded it, it's there forever. I have a lot of other songs and I feel like, oh, I still want to take care of them. I still want to record them so that they don't just sort of, you know, fall off to the wayside and stay in a filing cabinet somewhere.
It's funny how it works with songs. They don't actually exist forever until they're recorded.
Right.
And people know what they're supposed to sound like. Mm-hmm. When they're written or still in your mind, they don't exist, really, when they're out there.
Other than for yourself.
Exactly.
But, yeah. But you want to share them, right?
Right. So you got a chance to work with a great producer on this album, Michael Petcow Falk.
Yeah.
Tell me what it was like working with him.
Fantastic. He is so interactive. He's so open. He's incredibly creative. He has wonderful ideas, but is also always open to hearing, what I was thinking, which direction did I want to go with it. And then we were also able to, he would give me ideas and I would go, oh, yeah, okay. I hadn't thought of going at it that way.
How did that work? Because that's one thing I was going to note is Michael is not a jazz musician and he wouldn't be, I guess, known as a jazz producer. So how did that work between one who's essentially a jazz artist now working with an indie rock producer?
Mike is a musician. That's all you can say. I mean, he's a musician and he has incredible ears and he doesn't really care what kind of music it is. He just cares if it's good.
Well put. Now, as far as the influences on the album as well, I know that your time in Europe obviously influenced you a great deal. I mean, essentially turning you or discovering the songwriter in you. Mm-hmm. How else has that affected your music? I mean, the culture of life out there and so forth. How does that, where will I hear that in this album, Parallel Mundo?
Well, the whole idea of the concept of Parallel Mundo was parallel worlds happening at the same time. So living in one world and another world existing at the same time, which that kind of became my reality when I moved back from Europe. And I, knew that my friends in Europe were now going on with their life and my life was going on here. And we were living parallel lives, not really together, but and that whole world, there's a whole different way of thinking, a whole different way of being. Different culture, different environment, everything's different in Europe, right? And that's all still happening, even though I'm here now,
Yeah.
So that sort of became very real to me. And so a lot of the songs, they express that idea of two realities at the same time.
Mm. And I've mentioned a couple of times through this interview as well that you're not just a straight jazz artist. There's much more to what you do than just jazz. I mean, you do have this classical training. There's an operatic background as well. How does that work with your songwriting and performance now?
Well, I think probably the most unique thing is that most jazz singers sort of sing in a range, and I sing in a couple of ranges.
Okay.
So I'll sing some songs in this really low range, and then other songs I'll sing in sort of a medium voice range, sort of more where Ella sings, that kind of sound. And then some songs I just go really high because I don't know, I just got to get up there sometimes. It's fun, and people do seem to really like that in small doses.
Well, and if you can do it, why not do it? If you've got that skill, you should put it out there, really. I think that's one of the things that adds major dynamic to your album as well is, I mean, as people will hear as we listen through your tracks on the show, not a single one of them sounds exactly the same. You can always tell it's Monica, but they don't sound the same as the last tune. This album is recorded, pressed, and put out there. What do you want to do with it? What are you hoping comes from this?
I guess I have a lot of hopes for it. One of the hopes is for it to be heard on radio, not only on CBC, but of course I would love it to be on CBC, but also in Europe, in the US, is what I'm hoping it's going to achieve. And I want to showcase it and do touring with it. So it's sort of the vehicle that helps you to tour more, I guess, more efficiently.
Well, that's one of the interesting things about the jazz world as well, is it's actually one of the only areas in music, I think, where album sales still exist because people tour and perform.
Mm-hmm.
Have you taken this album to Europe at all?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
Well, I mean, I was there visiting family, and so I did play it for a few people. And interestingly, they all loved the song Berlin, which we're not playing.
Well, we've got to save something for listeners to go and get their hands on the disc for, right?
Yeah. But that seems to be the German favorite is Berlin.
Okay. Now, we want to get into a bit more music as well before we let you go here. We want to squeeze as much as possible out of you, Monica. Tell me about this interestingly titled song on the album, White Bread Blues.
Okay. Well, White Bread Blues was inspired by, I was grocery shopping and I was watching what people were putting in their carts, and it was frightening.
You were snooping.
No. I was actually mourning, to be honest. I was mourning that this is what people put into their bodies. And so the idea of, you know, there is the option for whole foods out there, but some people choose to eat white bread and foods that don't have much nutrition. I looked at that as part of a whole life, that sometimes people don't take the whole package that's out there, all that they can get out of life, and they just sort of live on the surface, and they just sort of spend the evening watching TV every night or whatever, and they don't follow their dreams, and they don't live in fullness of life. And so White Bread Blues is a blues song, sort of cross with a kind of a gospel song. So partway through the song, actually, the Lord's Prayer is quoted. So,
well, you know, I think this should be a note to all of our listeners that with Monica Wall and every song that she has written and put on this album, just like her personality, there is much more than what is on the surface. You need to dig a little bit deeper to get the true meaning behind the song and the person. I want to thank you very much for joining me today on Scene, Monica. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Let's take a listen to Monica Wall with a tune from her album Parallel Mundo. This is called White Bread Blues.
But there's no satisfaction anywhere to be found. Leave your children, Lord, in this land of plenty. We are in overabundance, and we're starving, starving to death. Where should we go but to the fountain of mercy? Where should we go but to the altar of God? Where can we hide but in your loving arms? Feed us, Lord, feed us, Lord. Without you we have been a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory.
And that's Monica Wall with White Bread Blues. Now, Monica was my guest today on Scene on Air, and you can hear her perform at Arkadash Bistro and Lounge with her trio on Friday, March 1st.